If you haven't heard, Triple M rocks Test Cricket.
Boy, boy, was that something to behold.
And it sounds a little different.
That is a brutal ball.
Settle in, get yourself a brandy.
Triple M, rockin' Test Cricket.
And after almost losing the unlosable, Australia takes a 1-0 lead into the second test.
It's Yorker. Oh! I reckon that's out! It is out!
Live from the Triple MCG, it's day one of Australia and Pakistan.
Triple M.
Triple M.
Triple M.
Triple M rocks Test Cricket.
Hello and welcome along to the MCG for the second test between Australia and Pakistan. Isha Gua here, and I hope you all had a very Merry Christmas yesterday and are all ready for the action to begin at the Mecca of cricket here in Australia. One of the biggest days in the Australian sporting calendar. The hosts, of course, 1-0 up, looking to win the series after nearly being defeated by Pakistan at the Gabba in what would have been an historic victory for the tourists, who were looking to chase down a mammoth 490 in the final innings and falling just 39 runs short. It means we're all set up for another tasty encounter here. And I can tell you, we've already had the toss news. Pakistan have won the toss and have elected to bat first. There's a few wispy white clouds around and a bit overcast, with the sun set to burn through later in the day. We're expecting about 70,000 here and people already starting to filter in. I'm delighted to say I'm joined by two legends of the game, Kerry O'Keefe and Mervyn Hughes. First of all, did you have a very Merry Christmas, Kerry?
I did, and compliments of the season to everybody out there. A tight squad of six at the O'Keefe's, my wife, my sister, my two sons, and my older son's fiance, who's German. So we talked about German cricket for a little while.
Lots of German sausage?
We've had that every week for the last 3 years. Germany rising in world cricket through the Afghani refugees.
Yep.
Watch out for Germany in a few years.
Yeah, absolutely.
She told us.
Yeah, I went to the Germany Cricket Awards, would you believe, last year.
And did you?
Yeah, I saw many of them there. It was a lot of fun, yeah. That's for sure. Right,
Merv, how was yours?
Yeah, mine was great. I spent it at the Crudsons. They invited us round for the
Claire
afternoon.
Crudson,
yeah, that's
St.
right.
George.
Absolutely. And
well done.
Entertained myself and Rich, and it was a lot of fun. But all ready for today, Merv. What about you? How did you enjoy Christmas?
Yeah, just at home and astounding. You're a bit of German heritage.
Well, my son's marrying into German heritage.
Oh, well, welcome aboard. Mother's maiden name, Schneeberger. So I'm tipping there's a fair bit of German in that.
Looky, I thought it was hamburger.
Should have been hamburger. No, had a great day. Had a fantastic day. So just family around. Dad's a bit crook, so he didn't make it. But mum, my sister, brother's up in Queensland. So we missed him. But Sue's mum and sister and in-law. So we had about 15.
Brilliant.
It was good. Yeah, it's a great day.
Sounds absolutely
great day. Far
fantastic.
Too much
and the
food.
Great thing about working in radio is you don't have to be worried about being bloated today. We'll run through the Australian team now. Of course, they mentioned yesterday that they would be unchanged. David Warner, Matt Renshaw on his Boxing Day debut, Usman Khawaja, Steve Smith, Peter Hanscom and Nick Maddison all making debuts on the Boxing Day. For the test match here, Matthew Wade, Mitch Stark, who finally gets his opportunity to play in a Boxing Day test, Josh Hazlewood, Nathan Lyon and Jackson Bird. I suppose you're not really surprised by that, the fact that they're unchanged, two tests that they've won with this team?
Well, two tests they've won with this team, but when they brought in Cartwright, I thought there was going to be trouble for Maddison with the workload that the bowlers had in Brisbane. And worst possible result for the Australians, isn't it? Lose the toss and bowl here. So it's going to test the depth of the bowling. And I must admit, I like to see in that top six someone with a genuine bowling option. And when you've got Smith, Warner and Maddison, you haven't got that genuine bowling option. Cartwright, his numbers are pretty good. Bit of a surprise. But had a talk to the bowlers. All the bowlers have recovered well. There's been virtually a week in between the games. So they should be right.
Okay, and one change for Pakistan we're hearing. Sahail Khan coming in for Rahat Ali, which we did expect to happen because it was looking like a very one-dimensional bowling attack. We'll just run through that then. Sami Aslam, Azhar Ali, Babar Azam, Yunus Khan, Misbah Ul-Haq, Asad Shafiq, who had that wonderful innings at the Gabba, Sarfraz Ahmed, Wahab Riaz, Sahail Khan, Yasir Shah and Mohammad Amir. Kerry.
Again, problems for the Pakistani openers. They haven't really gelled yet, Aslam and Azhar Ali. Azhar Ali runs in Brisbane in the second innings, but it's a formidable pace attack. Australia, Stark, Hazlewood and Bird. Babar Azam, excuse me, plays low. Excuse me, will be under pressure at three. Yunus Khan runs in the second innings in Brisbane. Misbah Ul Haq, the captain, seemingly always under pressure when the ball bounces. See how Misbah goes. Asad Shafiq, the hero from Brisbane at six. What a player he is. Look forward to more of him in this match. Safraz Ahmed at seven, this belligerent wicketkeeper batsman. He's going to cause problems over the next two tests. Watch out for him. Amir Riaz, the new guy. Sahal Khan bowls outswing to the right-handers, innies to the left-handers. A very Imran Khan-like action, but gets in tight to the stumps, moves it, could be a problem for the Australian early order. And Yasir Shah, big match for the Yasir Shah, the match-winning leg spinner. Looking at recent results here, spin decided the last two Shield games, and lots of LBWs and bowls. Over 50% of his test wickets are LBW and bowled late in the innings. If Pakistan can get a formidable first innings total, he could be the X factor for them on days four and five. But they've got to get there. This pitch will do a bit early. But Yasir Shah, this is the perfect toss result for him. Mm. He's bowling in the second and hopefully fourth innings.
Okay.
Big chance.
Well, he'll have a little while to wait because Pakistan are of course batting first. It's now time for our Triple M pitch report for California Sports Surfaces. And I believe Neroli Meadows is pitch side with a special guest. Neroli, very Merry Christmas for yesterday. Hope you had a good day. Who have you got with you?
Thank you very much. Well, I've got with me a man who would love to be about to be bowling for the Aussies, and that is injured quick Peter Siddle. Peter, an odd one for you. You've been out there and said hello to the boys. How are you feeling?
Yeah, not too bad. It's a little bit different. Not being a part of the setup for the Boxing Day test, but it's lovely to be here with the Triple M guys and looking forward to it.
We're certainly grateful to have you with us. Now, you've had a look at the pitch. What can you tell us with the conditions? Plenty of cloud cover about.
Yeah, it's actually, Smitty, he's probably pretty lucky, not having to make the choice of what to do, because I think it's a good toss to lose. I think, with the conditions overhead, a little bit of thatchy grass on the wicket, that if we bowl well enough in the first session, we could, get some good breakthroughs and really put them under the pump. So hopefully, the boys can start well here and, we could be in a good position by the end of the day.
And a very Merry Christmas for Mitchell Stark. He's waited a long time to play in this Boxing Day test. You've been there when he's missed out. He will be chomping at the bit to get out there.
Nah, he is. He's been very excited this week. I think knowing leading into this one, he was going to be playing, I think a bit different to the past, and he's hated not playing in the past. So he's looking forward to it. And he's a star player. And I think, he'll be ready to get out there in this big stage and perform in front of, hopefully today, big 60,000-70,000 crowd.
And when will you be back?
Hopefully the back end of the Big Bash is the plan. So back bowling at the moment, feeling good. So, we don't know a date, but, play a part for the Renegades at the back end and hopefully some finals for us.
Aisha, Cricket Australia's loss is certainly Triple M's game.
That's absolutely true, Neroli. We look forward to hearing the thoughts of Peter over the coming days. Okay, we've got lots more to come in our build-up to this second test between Australia and Pakistan. And Joel Schiller has got a Boxing Day preview for you.
Well, it's the Boxing Day test, or as it's commonly known in Melbourne, the get out of having to spend time with the extended family, especially that weird unmarried uncle who drinks sherry and breed moths, jail-free card. Even though the Aussies are one up in the series, Pakistan came agonisingly close to winning last time. It was the sporting equivalent of getting someone's number at a nightclub, high-fiving your mates, and then realising they'd switched the last digit. So many questions to be answered today. Will the Melbourne crowd take to Gary Lyon like a pretentious overpriced coffee? Did Dave Warner get a bat so big for Christmas it's practically an OLED TV on a stick? Will Pakistan collapse like the share price of Video Easy, or go in harder than a tight ass at an Audi Boxing Day sale? Whatever the case, the Triple M commentary team are ready. Ready to bring you every boundary, dismissal and semi-nude botch pitch invasion this test has to offer.
Triple M rocks test cricket.
And I'm also delighted to welcome in the legend that is Mick Molloy. Mick, did you have a good Christmas?
Kerry, how are you? I had a ripping Christmas. Thank you very much. Got most of it out of the way on Christmas Eve. I've got twin boys and obviously they still believe in Santa, which is a bit annoying because they're 16. I would have thought maybe they're going to either now. Yeah. So I did all my presents and all my family stuff then. And yesterday I had the greatest Christmas day of all time. I sat at home on my own and watched a UFC marathon. So, it doesn't get more Christmas spirit than that.
Is that what you do on Christmas Day?
That's what I did.
Oh,
yesterday.
There you go.
We watched a bit of that as
Christmas
well.
Is for kids. This is for adults. I agree with exactly what you said. This is, to me, this is my Christmas morning. To come to Boxing Day at the MCG, There's two great days at the MCG for me. That's Grand Final Day in AFL and Boxing Day in particular for our Melbourne Test. And I've never failed to attend. I just love it. This is the spiritual heart and soul of Melbourne. It's one of the seven modern wonders of the world. I hope it's classified by the National Trust. Surely, Kerry, it is.
Yes.
And some of the drama we've seen play out on this verdant green has just been amazing over the years.
Come on then, what have some of your favourite moments been?
So my very first memory, we discussed this up in the Gabba, but I remember going to the Centenary Test, and in particular, Day 3. But that was, I would have been about 10 at the time. And I remember, this is how much things have changed. I remember queuing up to come into the MCG, and behind me in the queue were two men holding a bathtub full of ice and beer. That was okay in those days.
That's in your dreams, isn't it?
That was it.
You dream about that every day.
I used it as an example as how much times have changed. So what would that have been, 1977, Kerry?
77 March, yeah.
77 March, and you're lucky if you get two warm ones now. Two mid-strength warm ones to carry back to your chair. That was great. Also, of course, on that test, Mother Goose, we saw the greatest musical performance I've ever seen here. Would have to be Meatloaf. Meatloaf performed in an AFL Grand Final. I'm getting some nods from the back of the room.
The Loaf's better than that performance, though, isn't he?
So, yeah. The Loaf's way better.
I'm not entirely sure Meatloaf is someone that would feature too much on Triple M.
He's had a good run over the years.
Sure.
There's a statue of Meatloaf up out the front of Triple M. So that would be one. The 1980 Grand Final, of course, which I saw here. Cricket-wise, Warnie. I've seen some of Warnie's great exploits here on the... on it, so I've seen that. So many over the years, just great stuff.
And Kerry, what about you? You, of course, made your test debut here.
I did, but I never played a Boxing Day test, and it's a bucket list moment for all these Australian cricketers out there today. When they stand in line and locked it arm in arm, sing the anthem, this is a reward for all the yards they've put in over the years, because they'd have grown up as young blokes watching the Boxing Day test, thinking, I would love to be part of it, and they're going to be this morning. It's just a unique day in your cricketing calendar as a young bloke, and there are 11 Australians out there today about to enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely, and a few on their Boxing Day test debuts as well. We look forward to watching them play. Okay, it's now time to introduce the Chew Man, who's our stats man for the course of the test.
We're going with this again.
Mick absolutely loves him. What have you got for us, Chew?
Great to be here, the home of football, as Mick was saying, and cricket Boxing Day test. Well, you talked about how many players are going to make their debut each in regards to Boxing Day test matches. For Pakistan, we have 8. The only 3 to have played here before at this very venue is Misbah Al-Haq, Yunus Khan and Muhammad Amir. And for the Aussies, we have 3 making their debut in Renshaw, Madison and Stark. I'll just touch on the crowd. Last 5 non-Ashes Boxing Day crowds have averaged just under 64,000. So my prediction is probably mid-60s thereabouts. We'll see if we can hit that mark.
Okay.
And you mentioned Stark playing his first test. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but he was dropped.
He was rested.
He was rested. Coming off the back
by
of
Mickey Arthur.
Here we go. Coming off the back of a Perth test where he was the one who did all the damage on our behalf. And they rested him, and he had to sit there and watch. Still to this day, it befuddles me.
And he hasn't moved on. All these pre-match quotes have been about, I should have played that day.
He's going to have a chance to rub it in today, that's for sure. He gets his opportunity finally at the MCG. We've got the anthems coming up and play shortly after
that. Get Meatloaf to sing one. That's what we should have got Meatloaf back.
It's now time to head down to Nerilee Meadows, who is pitch side once again. I think you've got Merv and Peter Siddle with you.
That's right, Aisha. What a moment, Peter Siddle. There's some great mates of yours out there, but particularly a bloke like Peter Hanscom, who you play state level with. What a moment.
It's a magic moment. I think, you can see in the boys this week leading into the match how excited they were, and being a Victorian, that, Boxing Day test, that's something you want to be a part of. And yeah, it's going to be amazing when he gets his opportunity, but I'm excited to see Mitchell Stark, surprisingly, in his first Boxing Day test, and I think he's going to put in a big one.
Merv, they've gone in with an unchanged attack. That's what we want to see, isn't it? That they've left it to the bowlers. They haven't done an awful lot since that heavy workload in Brisbane.
All understanding is they had a very light week, a little bit worried about the workload they had. Had a big day in Brisbane, day four, a little bit at the end of day three, into day five. So they did have a heavy workload. Cartwright got called into the squad. He wasn't needed. So by all accounts, the bowlers have said to Smith, we're ready to go.
Surely that's the right move, isn't it, Sids? You don't want to see a Mitchell Starc get rested again.
No, that's right. I don't think anyone wanted to see Mitchell Starc get rested. He's the man to watch. So we'll see how we go. But, yeah, I think they're nice and fresh, like Merv said. They'll be ready to go. And I think Nath Lyon will play a big part in this test match. Maybe not in the first innings, but definitely late in the game. Spin does help out there, and he can play a big part to helping these fast bowlers get the wickets.
So speaking of Nathan Lyon, we're very excited about his third delivery, because that's when this massive crowd is supposed to all yell out in unison, "Nice Gary."
He is the nice Gary, so I'm looking forward to it. I'll probably be hanging out the window joining in, so we'll be waiting for him to get introduced to the attack. And yeah, good on him. Hopefully he has a big game, but yeah, he can wait until later in the match, I think.
Some are saying he's the biggest cult hero since Merv Hughes.
Oh, yeah, pretty hard to understand that. I don't think he's as big, but pretty big. But on a serious note, hasn't everyone taken to him? He's just the underdog. Every time there's a talk about a weak link or someone being dropped from the Australian side, and it happened again before the Brisbane Test match, he was going to miss out. Sayers was going to come in. He played that. He got a couple of wickets, was very handy. And that's the thing that people don't understand. His record for Australia is outstanding.
We're at lunch here on day one between Australia and Pakistan in the second test. It was Pakistan who won the toss at the start of the day and elected to bat first. It's been fairly slow going for the Pakistanis, who were looking good and looking to up that run rate before they just lost the wicket of Babar Azam in the over before lunch. It was Hazelwood who had been toiling away all morning. He got the nick behind, and Stephen Smith did the rest. Just about, I have to say. He caught it in his fingertips. Babar Azam went for 23. Azhar Ali is still there on 26, and Sami Aslam was the first to go, with Nathan Lyon coming in for his first over. It was just what the doctor ordered with the crowd when they all shouted, "Nice Gary," third ball of the over, and then he brought about the breakthrough, getting a nick behind to his skipper, Steve Smith. It was a nice bit of turn and bounce which got that breakthrough. It's Isha Guha here, sat alongside Kerry O'Keefe and Peter Siddle. Both players who are used to being here at the MCG and in front of some fairly big crowds as well. We've got about 50,000 in at the moment here at the MCG on Boxing Day. It's one of the great events of the year in the Australian calendar. Peter, what have you made of it so far?
Yeah, I think very handy wicket to finish the session off. But yeah, I like the change early on. From Steve to bring on Nath a bit earlier than probably expected on a morning of a test match here at Melbourne. But no, he got the breakthrough for us, and then the boys could keep toiling away, building the pressure. And yeah, like I said, that last wicket there, that's a massive change of fortunes for the team going into the break, and hopefully come out of that and put on a lot of pressure.
A lot of patience shown by Pakistan there, Kerry?
It was a good toss to win. They would have won the session bar for that last ball. So they were cautious, good bowling from Starc. Hazelwood in particular, how tight is he? But as Peter said, Sami Aslam, their left-handed opener, has a number of problems with off-spin. So Nathan Lyon was introduced, the ball stuck in the pitch, and he open faces it and follows it with his gloves. He'll be the first casualty if he doesn't get big second innings runs for Sydney. You couldn't possibly play a player with that technique against the turning ball in Sydney. He needs big second innings runs to stay in the team, does Sami Aslam. The prize we get, though, is of Azhar Ali. They need to get it. Babar Azam at three, comes from short form. Looked good through off his pads, good through the offside, but just fenced at one. He could have left, maybe. Again, with that UAE open face, just, you know, that in Australia, you just nick forever. And it works in the UAE. They slide it past gully for runs, but you nick it in Oz. And we saw in Brisbane, and we've seen again today.
Sids, is that something that gets you excited when you're playing against these guys? The fact that they have that ability to just open the face and you feel like you're in the game almost?
Yeah, for sure. I think that shows by the fields that Steve set throughout the day, that cover was open the whole time. And I think that's what brings it in. Kerry was right that they see that opening, they want to push the ball through there. And the extra bounce that we do get here in Australia, obviously the height of our bowlers as well compared to some of the other bowlers are in world cricket, that we get the extra bounce. And Joshy showed that last little bit when There's only one more ball until the break. Easy ball to leave, but you know, Josh puts so many balls in good areas, making you play all the time, that as a batsman, they just got to think that they've got to play at every ball, and he brought along that edge late in that session there.
Just how frustrated do you get when you're up here in the commentary box and you're watching the guys bowling out there at your home ground, a ground that you've had quite a lot of success at as well?
Yeah, it's frustrating, but I'm a positive person. You know, injuries come, it's a part of the game. It comes for all of us, so you can't look back and worry about what has happened. It's just, nice to be here, part of the Triple M crew here with you guys and watching the boys finish off that session well and hopefully on the way to having a good day.
And you are always a great favourite of the crowd here on your home ground, Peter. And again, with Nathan Lyon, it does lift you when the crowd's behind you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I've had some great days here where the crowd's right behind you and cheering you on. And yeah, it does lift your spirits. So I can see the same for Nathan, who's probably, you know, been a little bit, you know, a bit unsure of where he fits in the team and, you know, not as confident as he once was. But you could see him out there today. He loved the chance early on when he started warming up and then when he got his opportunity to get that wicket.
Just how intimidating is it for the opposition? I think there's 8 players in the Pakistan team who have never played in a Boxing Day test. So a lot for them to contend with, not just the fact that they're playing against Australia, but in front of a crowd that is completely backing their home team.
Oh, I mean, Peter's a lot younger than I, but I remember when Dennis Lilley was at his peak, charging in with the whole outer, chanting his name and roaring for him. I was in the gully thinking, I'd rather be fielding than batting. and that's how intimidating it is. And Australia feed off that. Their record here is pretty good.
Yeah, you do. And I can remember the early days coming along here and especially cheering on Merv. Like that's,
in Bay 13.
Bay 13. And, you know, here with your dad and he's stuck there. He's having a few beers, but you're cheering it on. But you're doing the stretches with Merv. And just the whole atmosphere around any Victorian player, and as Warnie was the same. It's just a great day. It's a great atmosphere. And then I felt that being out there as a player that you do, you know, the hair stands up on the back of the neck. You get excited. You lift a little bit, the chest's out, and you come charging in. And I could admit that it's definitely helped me over the years being in front of my home crowd, getting that chant. And what a stadium. You get over 50, 60, 70,000 sometimes. Unbelievable.
I suppose that just made you a little bit more flexible, those stretches in Bay 13, Peter Siddle here alongside Kerry O'Keefe. Peter, in the break there, we were having a look at the telly and they were having a look at Shane Warne's 700th wicket right here, bowling Andrew Strauss, and you were the water boy, I believe. Fond memories?
So Mitchell Johnson was the 12th man there that series, the whole series. They played the same side pretty much throughout, but yeah, in each state, yeah, you usually get some local state players to help out, a sort of 13th, 14th man, and you just become a water boy, really. You're a little gopher for the 12th
man. You don't want to be too
good
at that job, though, do you?
No, you don't. That's something I found out. But, so we're all there just helping out, myself and Bobby Quiney, a fellow Victorian cricketer. And, it just happened that such a big day, you know, Ashes test match. But, Warnie getting his 700th, that's someone that grew up watching him play a lot of cricket and being a fellow Victorian that you just love watching him play. And yes, to be a small part in that was an amazing day.
I remember the noise when he bowled Andrew Strauss. What was it like? You were on the sidelines?
Was it
just the biggest clap of thunder you've ever heard?
Yeah, it was. I think everyone, they kept teasing that day that he was coming on earlier. So they were grabbing his hat, pretending that he was going to come on and they'd be roaring and then he'd put it back on and the quicks would keep bowling. So it took a bit of time for him to come into the attack, but once he did, it didn't take him too long to get stuck in. And when he did, he went off in this massive run. Lasted about 20 metres in the end. And I remember getting out there and all he could talk about was he wanted to do a big sort of lap of honour around the ground, around the sort of centre square. It lasted 20 metres. He goes, I'm a bit tired now. So stop there. A massive occasion. And Roy smacked him later in the day to get 100.
Absolutely. We saw Nathan Lyon here today and the crowd didn't have to wait long after they were giving him a huge cheer. It was his third ball that he got the wicket of Sami Aslam, caught behind by Smith, just getting the edge with that extra bit of bounce here at the MCG wicket. Just going back to you being a water boy, were there some people more demanding than others?
No, not too bad. It's probably the worst thing these days is batsmen with gloves. Not so much the water, but gloves. Davey Warner and Steve Smith love changing their gloves, so that's usually the hardest one, having those two out in the middle batting together on a hot day and them just, you know, putting their hands up every second over. waving it for a new pair of gloves. That's the hardest one. But thankfully I haven't had to do it too much, and hopefully I don't have to do it too much ever again. But yeah, it's never the greatest part of being in the side.
Well, it's great to have you here at Triple M Rocks Test Cricket, and but we do look forward to your return to the Test team, and of course you've got the India tour to look forward to. I believe you're getting yourself ready for the Big Bash as well towards the end of that, and we look forward to hearing more as you progress over the next few weeks. Okay, Neroli Meadows has been with us here at Triple M Rocks Test Cricket over the last test and here today as well. But she's been busy for the last few days. Even on Christmas Day, she sat down with Darren Lehman. And this interview is courtesy of Fox Sports News 500.
Well, Merry Christmas, Boof. Thanks for spending some time with us on Christmas Day.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Thanks for having me.
Boxing Day, what is your favourite part of it? Because it's such a special test.
The anthems. And the noise of the first ball being bowled, whether you're batting or bowling, it's really loud. People are in a festive mood. It's been a great Christmas Day normally, the cheers there. And then obviously Boxing Day is tradition around, obviously, Australia watching the cricket.
Pakistan fought back in a big way in Brisbane. Are you wary?
You're always wary of any cricket side, really, especially the way they played to go close to 490. It's going to be interesting. Red Bull's totally different story. Swings a lot more. The wicket will be good here. It'll have some bounce and carry in it. So where Brisbane had, it was a really good test wicket, but the ball probably didn't bounce as much as we would have thought. So there's some work to do with the pink ball, obviously, still. It's went 5 days, so everyone's happy with that. But you still want some movement there for the bowlers, I would think. So for me, it'll be interesting to see how both sides shape up with the red ball. And you know, there's always a little bit of reverse in Melbourne as well. So it's going to be a great challenge for the batters.
It's been an interesting year. What would you say? Let's start with your highlight first.
Oh, definitely a month off when they went to the West Indies and they won without me as coach. So that's the highlight. JL did a great job. Thanks, JL.
They don't need you.
No, I'm happy with that. I could have a month off and they can go win. You get paid for it. It's pretty good.
Never change, Boof.
No. The highlight, what would it be? Probably the Adelaide Test match. It got better. And we had obviously a young side and the way they played. So that was a pleasing point.
And the low light?
Oh, you'd probably have to go Hobart, wouldn't you? But if you're looking at the whole view, the Sri Lankan Test Tour wasn't a great one for us, the way we played there. So they're probably up there.
Has it been the toughest year of your tenure from a cricketing point of view and the challenge under your reign?
I think every year is tough, whether you're winning or losing. You're always trying to grow as a coach and get the players to play better each and every year. That's how you've got to grow and they've got to learn and learn from their mistakes. And I think they're doing that. So really pleased the way Stephen's handled it and the way the leadership group have really taken this team to a new level. So for me, it's about guiding them along the way. And I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the challenge. There's been a lot of knockers out there. They've given us a fair bit over the 12 months, and rightly so when you lose. So for us, the only way you can turn that around is by winning.
Steve Smith's captaincy came under fire early on day five. What did you make of the criticism, and how much of a role did you play in the decision-making process?
Oh, you're always talking as a captain and coach. End of the day, you know, he runs the ship and that's how it should be. It always is that way. So, you know, he probably learned, he probably went a little bit too defensive at times. But that's, you learn that along the way. I mean, these people are criticising it. Not bad from afar. So I thought he did a really good job. I mean, there was a lot of talk about the following as well. There's no way a bowling group could have bowled 60 overs then backed up for another 150. We wouldn't have had a bowler left. So for me, I think every current day player, especially in Brisbane with the heat and the humidity, would have taken the 40 overs off with the bat, definitely.
He's still such a young captain relatively. Do you think he's learning every day?
Yeah, he's learning all the time and he's getting better and better. He's going to be one of the all-time greats, as we know, as a player, and I think he'll be finished as one of the all-time greats as a captain. I'd like people to support him more from the past playing group, and you know, hopefully they do that over the next little while.
Does it annoy you a bit?
Yep.
Protective or?
No, just disappointed more than anything else. You know, those players that have worn the baggy green, we love them dearly and we respect their views. You know, we'd love them to share their views with us privately more so than externally. But we understand that's the role of the media this day and age as well.
Chairman of selectors, do you have an opinion on who should take on that role full time?
No, I'll stay away with that one, Neroli. Thanks very much.
Would you like somebody like Ricky Ponting to be in that
sort of... I'm staying away from that one. You know, I get in trouble for my comments sometimes, so... Bong, bong.
No Christmas controversy.
No, thank you.
All right, as we mentioned, there are plenty of new faces in this test team. I often get told by punters in the public that if they tripped over a Chad Sayers or a Matt Renshaw, they wouldn't know who they were. So can you please tell me an interesting tidbit that you found out, something that people wouldn't know about the following players? First of all, Matt Renshaw.
The turtle.
He's nickname for us.
Turtle, he comes out when he has a few beers. Matty Renshaw, his love for the game is second to none. Loves batting and loves listening and learning. And for a Pom, that's pretty good.
You've got a lot of born overseas players in this squad.
Yeah, so he's good.
Pete Hanscom.
Jokester, Pete. Lots of laugh, always upbeat. Really excited about playing the game of cricket. I mean, I haven't seen a cricket nuffy like that for a long period of time. So for him, he's been a joy in the dressing rooms and we've loved having him. So now we've just got to get him with a few practical jokes and away we go.
What have you got up your sleeve?
Might sell his house.
You got me there. Nick Madison.
Quiet, has a real bad taste in clothes. Wears a referee shirt out a lot. I hope he was walking past then. But it's good coming from me because I still live in the 50s.
Chad Sayers?
Good Woodville boy. A bit of a country boy and just a down-to-earth, soul-of-the-earth bloke. Really honest. Hard-working. Exactly what you want.
And finally, the new bloke to the squad, Hilton Cartwright.
Yeah, well, we've only had him, obviously, in the one-day series, so really quiet. But like all of them, they'll come out of this year once they start to feel comfortable in the surrounds and play a few games and do well. So for him, it's going to be interesting to see how he transfers from that WA setup. And JL has been great. He shared some great knowledge about him and what he's working on. So we expect him to do well and come out of his shell.
Boof, Merry Christmas. Enjoy the Boxing Day test.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, that was Narelly Meadows speaking to Darren Layman yesterday on Christmas Day, courtesy of Fox Sports News 500. A very good interview there, as always. But Darren Layman, he just says it how it is, doesn't he? He's just a matter-of-fact kind of bloke, Peter. Peter sitting alongside me, Kerry O'Keefe.
It is, yeah. That's how he is in the change rooms. That's how he coaches. There's no different than how people hear him come across. That's how he is to us. Sometimes a little bit more aggro, depending on how we're going out in the middle, but that's what he's about. He's very laid back, but very to the point. And I think, that's probably got us in line a lot better over the last couple of years that, you know, we can have fun, but when the business is business, that's when you get to it. And we've shown that at different times, and it's definitely helped a few of us.
I don't know where practical jokes will end. Normally it's chewing gum in your boot. But when you said Peter Hanscom, what will you do as a practice? I think I'll sell his house.
and that comes from history. There is past history there, which, yes, when he was coaching the Queensland Bulls, he did have a young player that was doing a lot of pranks to him and, you know, having a bit of fun at the coach's expense. So the coach decided, okay, goes to the offices, gets his address, gets all his details, finds out his car, make and model, and whacks it in car sales. So... This young bloke wakes up one day, it's hit the internet, and here's this bloke at breakfast getting all these phone calls about this car, and he's like, the right make, the right model, and they're saying it's for sale. And he's like, no, mate, he kept hanging up, and until he found out that, yeah, Buff had whacked it on car sales at a very low price that no one could resist. So this bloke was getting hundreds of phone calls.
There you go. There's a lesson for all young cricketers out there. Any cricketer in the Australian team as well. Do not cross Darren Layman. Narelly Meadows now joins us. Can you give us a little update on the world of Australian cricket at the moment?
Yeah, well, let's start with here at the MCG, because no doubt about it, the greatest moment of that first session was Nathan Lyon, and everything worked out better than to script. Basically, about a week ago, a young bloke on Facebook set up a page to say, on the third delivery, let's set a world record for saying nice Gary at the MCG. 22,000 people agreed to do that. The Aussie cricketers were on board. Jackson Bird, in the lead-up, joked that he was going to join in. Wouldn't you know it, it gets to the third ball. Everyone stands on their feet around the crowd, and he takes a wicket, the first wicket of the Boxing Day Test. I don't think I'm alone with saying that is now officially my favourite ever Boxing Day Test moment. It was just wonderful. It was so much fun. Siddle's shaking his head at me at the moment, but it was just the joy of cricket. And we'll be chatting to Julia Wade, who is the wife of Matthew Wade. It's his birthday today, his 29th birthday. And, of course, he kicked off the Nice Gary situation.
Yeah, well, certainly it was all that energy around the ground that produced that wicket. I'm sure they'll be doing it a lot more when he comes back on. Now, we've got the Big Bash as well. That's on tonight.
The Stars kick off their campaign in Hobart tonight up against the Hurricanes. No Kevin Peterson. He's back home for Christmas. He gets a delayed start.
I was
for
so
the Big
looking
Bash.
Forward to Stuart Broad bowling at Kevin Peterson.
It would have been great fun. Unfortunately, we'll miss that though. And just a bit of an update on John Hastings. We know he's out for the summer, but I spoke to him on Fox Sports News 500 this morning, and great news that it was originally looking at 6 to 8 months out of the game. He's now saying the prognosis looks much better after knee surgery. He's hoping for 4 to 6 months. So that is great news. And as far as the world of cricket goes, we've obviously got the one day between New Zealand and Bangladesh today. New Zealand won the toss, elected to bat, made 7 for 341. Tom Latham, the New Zealander opener, got a ton, his second ODI ton, 137 runs off 121 balls. And Colin Munro played a bit of a cameo at the end, 87 off 61 balls as they tried to pile on the runs late in Christchurch.
Weather has set in here a little bit. The covers are on the field. My name is Gus Wallen. We've got Ish in the crowd with us. We've got Kerry O'Keefe. We've got Mick Molloy. We're going to have a little chat about cricket, and then we're going to usher in the Prime Minister of Australia. I thought he was on the phone, but he's actually coming into the box.
Be on your best behaviour. Should I put some pants on?
Yeah, you should put some pants on. Ish, you were very confident that you could handle him.
Oh,
will you be able to handle him face-to-face, the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull?
Yeah, well, it'll be confrontational, that's for sure.
There'll be fireworks.
We don't mind
There'll
that.
Be fireworks if Mick Molloy puts his shorts back on.
Now, Kerry O'Keefe, what are your thoughts before we have the Prime Minister coming in? Pakistan are 4 for 142. And they're fighting at the moment. It's been a battle for them. Good bowling by Jackson Bird in particular this morning.
She was formerly known as Isha Gua. She's known now as Ish in the Crowd.
Yeah.
I got nice myself. Cover of that.
I did
That's
my
okay.
best.
I called Gus Guz earlier.
Oh. Yeah. We'll have words about that at the bar tonight when I'm introduced to your fiance.
Strongly
we'll see how long that lasts.
Strongly Australia's way at the moment, Gus.
We're here with Trevor O'Keefe. He's been doing a great job.
Yes.
I did play a long time ago. Australia have the honours here. They've got four Pakistanis. Azhar Ali is the fly in the ointment. He's batted brilliantly, 66 not. Asad Shafiq, the hero from Brisbane, in. The Sarfraz Ahmed in next, then the tail. It's one or two wickets from Australia crashing through here. So a good toss. I thought it was a good toss to win for Pakistan, but Australia have won the day so far. Yep.
Well, they've got the ball moving, and yes. Jackson Bird in that last session was definitely the pick of the bowlers. He's picked up two wickets for 53 runs, and Azhar Ali remains at the crease on 66. Asad Shafiq, the hero from the Gabba, even though he wasn't quite able to get Pakistan over the line, he's on 4 not out of 12 deliveries. So Pakistan are 4 for 142 in the tea break. They went off a little bit early because the rain was falling. The covers are still on here at the moment, and I'm delighted now welcome to the commentary box the
special
Prime
guest.
Minister, special guest, wow. Malcolm Turnbull. Welcome to you. Did you have a good Christmas day?
Well,
Christmas.
First of all, I'd like to say what a great honour it is to be here at the Triple M cricket, Test cricket commentary position, and to meet you face-to-face, Skull.
Thank you,
good on you, Kerry. I can see why you've got the nickname. You have got a skull. I'm just one of the guys today. Good on you. And hello to you, Isha and Michael.
Hello,
Michael.
Prime
nice
Minister.
To make your acquaintance again.
I thought you'd be more formal today.
Well, I know. I've just come in a nice slack, a relaxed slack, I think Lucy calls it. And I had a wonderful Christmas.
What did you do?
And Yuletide period. Well, I had drank some wonderful Sangiovese and a couple of bottles of Bolly, and then things got out of control. Lucy likes to mix up some shots on Christmas Day.
What kind of shots?
Well, she makes them out of butternut scotch.
Butternut snaps.
A butterscotch snap, sorry, and Bailey's Irish Cream.
Jägermeister?
The name of it is, yes, it's a flamboyant cowboy. A very flamboyant cowboy. I can't say its actual name here, that shot. A very confident cowboy.
Well, there you go.
Yes, a real cattle poke.
She had a couple, did she?
Then, of course, and then we exchanged presents, as you know, later on in the evening, and I traditionally give Lucy a pearl necklace every Christmas, and she loves it. And there's always... I don't understand why there's childish giggling when I talk about giving Lucy a pearl necklace, because she loves pearls, Akoya pearls, and Paspali clouded pearls. In fact, I wish I could become a diver, and maybe I could go and retrieve my own pearls for her, to be a real guy. That's what you want to do, be a hunter-gatherer. Be someone with showing a bit of initiative. Yes, we had a wonderful time. And, of course, we always have a nativity scene at our place and put the baby Jesus in there, and then it's on to Boxing Day. It's actually, I've got to mention today, it's a sad day. Why with the that? Passing of George Michael. One of my favourite songs, yes. My karaoke song of choice is... Careless Whisper. Guilty feet have got no rhythm, Michael. I'm never going to dance again the way I dance with you.
If we go around to Point Piper, and you've got a party in full swing.
I am on the karaoke machine.
Lucy's
George
had a
Michael.
Couple of shots. You're up at the karaoke machine.
I'll even do back catalogue with George Michael. I'll go way back to Wham and Andrew Ridgeley. Wake me up before you go-go, sometimes yes. I'd say to Lucy.
Why isn't it...
Where's Andrew Ridgley today, Paul?
Where
man?
Is he doing? Well, he's going, well, there goes my meal ticket.
That's what he's saying. That's right. They can't reform now.
Let's talk about cricket. If you played the game, would you be a specialist batsman, specialist bowler, all-rounder? What would you do?
Well,
carry the drinks.
Of course, I'm of the ruling class, so I'd be a batsman. I'd be up the order. I mean, cricket really is a class game. You've got your working classes, you know, your people who would otherwise be panel beaters, they're bowling. I once heard you
Don't
were a bowler, Kerry.
I was, but I was, at Sydney Grammar, given the choice cricket or piano, you chose piano.
I chose piano because I've probably got more in common with George Michael than I ever thought. Really? I do like a bit of distressed denim as well.
Would you play on the piano? What would you?
Well, a bit of Chuck Berry, of course. Something, you know, lively. I'm not into show tunes necessarily, but I'd be a batsman. I once heard somebody crudely refer to bowlers as being as dense as Boxing Day turds, which is quite on song today, isn't it? I'm working a little bit blue, but I would be...
there's a bombshell. The Prime Minister, that's the first honest thing a Prime Minister of Australia has ever said.
Well, I'm feeling relaxed.
Well, you are.
I've had a couple of sherbets downstairs, Michael. Beer, it's tremendous. I've never really tried it before. It's widely available. But after three, I feel like punching a relative. So I've got to watch it.
Well, good for you.
I'd like to play. Just imagine if I was the captain of a team and my parliamentary front bench was the top 11. Farty Pants Morrison opening the batting.
That's right.
With Michaelia Cash. Hard cold, I call her. Have you seen her? And Christopher Pine putting in a real dig.
That's it.
Across the sessions.
And you'd be trying to hit Bill Shorten in the tits? That what you'd be doing if you were playing?
Yes, tits Shorten. Does he come to the cricket? He talks about being part of the working class. Look at them all. Look at all the working class out there enjoying themselves. Is that what I have to do to be popular? Put on a watermelon helmet? Is that what the people want?
Yes. Put on a watermelon helmet.
It's a start.
Prime Ministers
it's
do
a,
this.
It's a way forward. The they fruit growers would love it. I was hefting a watermelon first day of the campaign. No one said cut it in half, hollow it out and whack it on your bonce, Malcolm.
Well, so if it's an Australian fruit. If it's an Australian fruit.
I don't think it's... Is it specific, unique to Australia? The
We have a history in this country of prime ministers ingratiating themselves to the game of cricket. Bob Hawke got hit on the spectacles,
and he came here and sculled a pot.
That's a yard glass. It wasn't a pot. It was a yard glass.
And of course, John Howard loved his cricket.
What are you bringing to the game?
Kevin Rudd. What did he do? He's stark raving mad, isn't he? They locked him up. Is he rocking in a corner somewhere, K-Rudd?
I think they finally figured out he was a character from South Park.
He's a wicketkeeper for Nambour Thirds on the Sunshine Coast.
And where is the keeper in terms of the class distinction? If the bowlers are working class, the batsmen or people?
They're seen as sneaks. They do everything behind
people's backs. Batter, batsman,
where's
either
the keeper?
Or.
Batter.
Yeah. Mm. What happened to Julia Gillard then? Did she play a bit of cricket?
Well, could she play cricket? I don't know. I've had a couple of thoughts, but I'm not going to say anything that just passed through. There was some cricket equipment that was right.
If you're drawing the line at saying something, it must have been absolutely terrible.
But anyway, I've got to go. I've got a big year planned, 2017.
What have you got planned for 2017?
Well, you know, tax cuts for people that need it. Big business, $50 billion worth there. We're going to take on the CFMEU. We're going to start a war on single mothers, invalid pensioners, and anyone that hasn't got a voice. We're going to crush the weak, and we're going to make this country strong again. Not great. I won't be borrowing that. I'm not an idiot, Kerry.
You're not indeed.
Well done. I'm many things. But it's just been wonderful being here.
Thank you for swinging
by. I'll drop by anytime you like.
Well, I'll see you down in the bull ring.
Absolutely.
For a couple.
I'll see you in the bull ring. Is that a euphemism?
No.
It is when Mick Molloy's speaking.
We'll have a to have you on the show, PM.
Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you here
Thank
in the
you.
Box here
good
at
on you.
The
You're
MCG.
Good constituents and great guys. Banner.
So just to run through the scorecard as it stands at the moment, it was Sammy Aslam to go first for 9. He was caught Smith bowled Lyon. Lyon coming on in his first over and getting a wicket with his third ball after a nice cheer from the crowd. Of
Indeed.
Nice, Gary. It was nice and loud, wasn't it? I've got Mick Molloy and Kerry O'Keefe alongside me. I'll continue to run through this scorecard for the moment. Babar Azam was next to go in the 26th over when the score was on 60. And that was a ball before lunch. Dismissed for 23. And then Yunus Khan was bowled by an absolute beauty. Jackson Bird coming in and a ball nipping back to take the off stump. He went for 21. Misbah-ul-Haq, who continues his bad form, he went for 11, caught Maddinson bowled Bird. It was a stunning catch at short leg by Maddinson. So hopefully Australian fans will be wanting him to score some runs when he comes out to bat here at the MCG. But the score as it stands at the moment, it's 4 for 142. Four bowlers used for Australia: Stark, Hazelwood, Bird and Lyon. Kerry O'Keefe alongside me. It's been a pretty good day for Australia.
Clearly ahead on points-ish, Australia. They lost the toss, but only Azhar Ali has been able to withstand them. His knock's been terrific. He's 66 not out. He goes all around the ground, through mid-wicket, through cover. He got runs in Brisbane. He is the star turn for Pakistan, and he is their hope to get 300 plus. If he gets a big 100, they can still do that. 20s to Babar Azam and Yunus Khan weren't enough. Asad Shafiq is still at the crease. He's a danger. But the Australian bowlers have been terrific. Stark, Springy, ask questions. Hazelwood, meaner than Grinch. 1 for 15 off 13. Lyon delivered with the third ball of his opening spell. Aslam nicking to slip. And Jackson Bird, probably the pick. He's conceded 8 boundaries. He's bowled wicket-taking balls. He's got 2. He could get more. There's a bit of bounce in this pitch, and he's nibbling it off the seam away from the right-handers. Jackson Bird, big star today for the Aussies.
Mick, I'm surprised you're still here, actually. Bit of rain, and I thought you might be down in the members' bar.
I would, except I think the crowd's got exactly the same idea. They've all run for cover, apart from those who are on the ground. Now, I know it's raining, and there's panic in the air, but I want to report the violation of a man rule, which is Tubby Taylor and heels under the same umbrella. Now, it's a stated and known man rule that two men cannot huddle under the one umbrella. If it's rain, I don't care. You take your medicine. You toss a coin, but there's nothing more undignified.
There's been budget cuts at 9.
There's been budget cuts. The first thing to go with the umbrellas, I'm afraid. Here you go, boys. Share. It's been an interesting day, hasn't it? I don't know where we go from here. It's not going to get any lighter, I think, for some while.
No.
But we'll see.
But Australia clearly have really stuck to the task. Heavy workload in Brisbane, but they've come up again, haven't they, the trio? Stark, Hazelwood, Bird. They've steamed in. I couldn't be more impressed. This is a pretty good batting pitch, but they've been able to, in their own way, get something out of it. And Pakistan have made regular mistakes, which they did in Brisbane. And unless you score heavily in the first innings, then that rests on Azhar Ali and Asad Shafiq. You can't boss the game. And they have Yasir Shah waiting on a drying pitch for innings 2 and innings 4. But they need 400 to bowl behind. And unless Azhar Ali continues, they're not going to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those of you just tuning in, Australia unchanged at the start of the day. Pakistan making one change. Sahail Khan coming in for Rahat Ali. And Australia, you mentioned the Australian bowling attack and the fact that they bowled a few overs up at the Gabba, probably a few more than they would have liked to because of that stunning innings from Asad Shafiq. And there was an opportunity for Hilton Cartwright to come into the side because of that workload, but they decided against it. And the four bowlers have bowled, Stark 11, Hazelwood 13, Bird into his 16th, and Nathan Lyon with 11. Mick, you wanted to say something?
No, I was just saying before we put the call out to our listeners here at Triple M beforehand about their favourite moments at the MCG, because you get nostalgic on a day like today, don't you, Kerry? It's Boxing Day, we're at the MCG, and we've talked about over the years some of those great moments. We've had some response from our audience. Here's one from PJ Sharpie, which we didn't mention. 1981, DK Lilly pushing off the fence in front of Bay 13. Do you remember him pushing off the fence on his run-up to come in?
Yeah, he's done that around the world.
He's done that around the world, and I remember seeing Michael Holding do the exact same. Yeah. Whispering Death coming in off the long boundary here, and that would go down.
Crowd goes nuts, eh?
The crowd goes nuts. It's one of those things that electrifies whoever's in the auditorium at the time. Stephen Green writes, grand final win by the Dogs this year. So we're obviously spreading the net far and wide. I happened to be here on that occasion, and I mentioned at the start of the broadcast that the two outstanding days at this Coliseum are Boxing Day and Grand Final Day, and I was here for that one, and I agree with Stephen Green.
Do you remember?
It was one of the most incredible sporting events. I remember some of it. I had to go home and watch the replay just to join the dots, but it was just one of the most atmospheric things. It was a real fairy tale, and one that you don't see very often, except in films. It was a fairy tale team who hadn't enjoyed success. They play an outstanding brand of football, and this stadium was just rocking under the strains of the Footscray fans. It was great to see.
But when you're growing up as a young Australian under the Queen Elizabeth reign, you dream of meeting her, and I actually met the time I met her was during the Centenary Test in March 1977, and we all put
how
her on
old
it.
Would she have been then?
77, she's 90 now, 23, 39.
Tell me you weren't at Julian's nightclub. Tell me you didn't put it on her. Tell me you didn't spend. tell me we're not going down the Sue Barker track here.
It didn't work with Sue Barker, so we tried the Queen instead.
I'm going to have a go at this.
It was tea time on the last day, and I had calcification in my spinning fingers, and I couldn't grip the ball, and I needed a cortisone needle, and we lined up and said, I'll give her the wet fish, because she's shaken about 8,000 million.
The wilting hand.
And she gave me the malachi crunch. And it shook all the calcification out of the fingers. She tried to take me out, and I went and got 3 wickets, and we won the test. So the plot didn't work.
It was the hand of the Queen.
The hand of the Queen.
The hand of the Queen did you
turn the match.
Were you playing England?
Yeah, we're playing
England. That was a tactical move. She was told, go out and crush Kerry O'Keefe's fingers.
Because Greg Chappell introduced Mum, our leg spinner, Kerry O'Keefe, and she chortled. She knew her cricket.
She does. She often sits at home and watches the cricket in the lounge.
I know she's into horse racing. Other couple of great moments I like to remember, which don't necessarily involve the cricket, was the time Muhammad Ali came out here and did a lap in the car, and that was at an AFL Grand Final. I've never seen an entire stadium, 100,000 people, all rise to their feet and go berserk at the at the same time. That was pretty special. And Ted Whitten Jr., of course, when he did it, he did a lap very late in the day before his death. It was one of the most emotional things I've ever seen at the G.
Still not as good as Meatloaf, though, Mick.
Meatloaf still, for me, is there should be a statue for him out the front with all the others. With DK, I love the DK Lilly statue, which is one of my favourites, because it's right in there. It isn't. I just go and stand like I'm in some kind of museum. Like, you know, that to me is Michelangelo's David.
Yeah.
The DK Lilly statue out the front next to the Warney statue. My favourite is the Lee Matthews statue. It's the only one the birds are too frightened to shit on. They just give that one a miss. Don't do that. But Meatloaf was one of the great moments. There have been so many over the years. Yeah. I remember seeing Simon and Garfunkel here.
Yeah, bridge over troubled
your
water.
Silence is...
No.
Well, no, me.
When I was lonely in 1971, my flatmate in England playing for Somerset, we only had Bridge Over Troubled Water, the Simon and Garfunkel. We played it every night. on.
That was it.
Just keep putting the vinyl back, the needle back, and playing it.
And so
when you're down and out, and we were.
What a great song it was.
Would have gone on if you had have got Sue Barker back to the hotel room. Shall I put on a little something?
Oh, missed opportunity.
That never quite works.
Maybe if I'd gone there after an orange drink.
Now, the reason I went silent earlier, Mick, is I was just being told in my ear that I think we have a grab from the 2011 grand final of Meatloaf.
Oh, wow. Here we go. Okay.
Well, I have to say, Mick, I can completely understand why that was your very best moment at the MCG.
He was let down by the acoustics.
That was terrible, wasn't it?
I haven't heard the best singing I've ever heard.
I haven't heard your version of Wonderwall yet, so it's very hard to say that. But I guarantee you, before this series is over, I will have heard it. And I can't wait. Is that the first time you've heard that?
That is.
So I'm a bit of a fan.
I'm going to be singing that to sleep
tonight. You shouldn't be judged on that grand final appearance.
I'll tell you what I'm very disappointed about. I know this came up. So the death of Rick Parfitt from Status Quo.
Yeah.
Over. I would have thought all the players would be wearing black armbands today, because Status Quo over the years have been great to this station.
Have they?
And I'm sure all Coles stores will be shut today too.
That jingle worked, didn't it?
At least they've got something to play as they lower the casket into the ground. Something about going down, down, down.
What about George Michael though?
George Michael, well, this is piping hot news. That one's come out of nowhere. He seems like a genuinely young... Rick Parfitt, let's be honest, was a bit wobbly. I mean, for the last year or two, they've been dragging him around weekend to Bernie style. But George Michael is actually a 53-year-old man, and I'm not sure... I'd like to
see what happens. Can we validate that? Is that confirmed?
It is confirmed.
It came from the Prime Minister.
How higher do you want to go? So that has actually occurred.
Does Triple M play Nothing But Thieves? Are they? Yeah. Connor Mason turns 24 today.
Right.
The front man for Nothing But Thieves.
You know Nothing But Thieves? You know them?
No, I don't know. But I know that.
Get your hands on the predictor or something.
They've got great tunes.
Yeah, they played Trip Switch during the Rugby World Cup.
Oh, right.
I remember hearing that.
Yeah. Who's feeding you information? Where are you getting this from?
I have to say, Kerry, I've been wanting to bring this up. So, Mick, in the last test... It was day three in the morning, and you know, we all come in, we have a little bit of a chat about the day's play, but then we also sometimes go off topic and start talking about music.
Yes, we sometimes do that on air.
That's often the case. Kerry started speaking to me about the time that he desperately wanted to go to Glastonbury.
Yeah.
And one band that he completely... missed and wished he would have been there. Yes. Now, you're not going to be able to guess this.
Was Sue Barker and the Happy Chats?
No. I'm going to have a go at this. So I'm going to say Buddy Holly. What are we talking?
You would think.
Glastonbury, and you wanted to say Prodigy.
No.
Wow. It's kind of close, actually.
What?
Groove Armada, Super Styling.
Super
he played
styling.
Me the video That's on it. YouTube, That's and it. He showed me the crowd, and he was like, I wish I'd been be there.
We need this rain break to clear.
Bopping up and down.
You don't like Groove Armada?
Yeah, I do like Groove Armada, but I can't believe we're on the same boat here.
I would love to be in a mosh pit doing singing Super Styling with Groove Armada at Glastonbury.
It was the first concert you ever went to, Kerry?
In the 80s, I had other things on my plate. Mick, I never went to a concert. I had a 20-year drought. Apparently, AC/DC were big.
Hey, well, that's a good one.
I didn't know who they were.
Ish? Who was the first concert you went to?
First, oh no, this is
come on.
Quite embarrassing, actually.
Yes. I can't wait.
Ja Rule.
Ja Rule?
Ja Rule at Wembley.
Is that embarrassing?
Magical moment,
it is a little bit embarrassing when you're working for Triple M Cricket, yeah.
Wow, hey.
But then I started getting into the rock stuff. In fact, I just copied everything my brother listened to, so Oasis, Blur.
I went to Roy Orbison at Western Super Mare in 1971.
Very good.
Yeah.
Devo, by the way, was the first band I ever saw.
Devo!
Il Devo.
No!
El Devo.
Devo, the original. Come on. You know, the flower pot hats.
Never
heard of it. Walking in the coal mine.
I'm a little bit lost here,
my
Mick.
Word.
Sorry.
If you sum out, can we play it after the
yeah,
break?
Yeah, we're going to have to do that. I'm yeah, going to have to that. Be reminded go. Of who I missed that him. Is.
You could have been in the band.
I missed him.
Your red hat.
So, Diva. Here at the MCG, it's still raining, the covers are still on, but I'm hoping that Neroli Meadows can tell us a little bit more. She's down pitch side.
Yeah, absolutely, Isha. It's just a constant rainfall. Not too heavy here, but there's no sign of it letting up. We've had a quick look on the radar and it doesn't look good. So I think this rain delay will last for a little while when drainage also starts to become a bit of an issue. I feel a little bit sorry for injured Aussie quick Peter Siddle, because I tell you what, if he was playing right now, he'd be in the warmth. And instead, he's sitting here under an umbrella with me. Sids, how does this ground react to a fair bit of rain?
Nah, the ground's not too bad. It's pretty lucky here that, yeah, a few years ago that it got renovated and the drainage is pretty good. But as a fast bowler and a bowler, these are the worst days. Nothing worse than having to go off and on, off and on. So the boys will be a little bit annoyed with it. But, yeah, we'll see if this rain can ease up a little soon.
And how does the ball react to this sort of weather?
Yeah, that's probably the second worst thing is when you come back out after a rain delay, the ground is still a bit damp and can obviously get a bit soggy in hand, a bit slippery, and obviously ruin all the good work you'd put into that ball throughout the day. So, yeah, hopefully it can dry up quick enough and the boys can get a few quick wickets.
We can see the boys in front of us now just signing a few autographs in the crowd, so at least the fans get something out of the rain delay. How do you spend your time in a rain delay usually?
I'm usually pretty relaxed, sitting downstairs, being just chilling out, playing a few pranks on the boys and mucking around. But, no, the boys just do their own thing. I think, you know, just stay active, just keep moving around. You don't want to get too, you know, too settled in one spot because you don't know when it's going to stop and you'll have to be out there pretty quickly. So the boys will be just waiting for that call.
There's some new faces in this squad. Who would be the most irritating one in there at the moment?
Probably the youngest, I reckon. Yeah, Renners is, he can get pretty annoying. He was pretty quiet the first probably two or three days when he arrived, but the Queensland boys kept telling us that's not him, and then yeah, it got to about the test match time and he was a bit more comfortable around the lads and he started giving it to them and wandering around, you know, running mischief. So I think he'll be probably the most annoying down there now. He's a lot more settled, made a few runs back on his home ground, so he'll be ready to cause some havoc in the rooms.
Typical Pom.
Correct. Very true. Very true. So he'll be a nuisance to them. But, great to see the bubble from the young boys when they come in there. They're a bit uncomfortable at first, but then, you know, they get settled and they start performing out in the field, which is great.
What have you made of the Aussies' performance so far?
Yeah, not too bad. I think, you know, when you lose the toss and the team, you know, elects to bat, that, you know, it always comes down to the bowlers performing well on that day. It has been a ground that, as a Victorian, we tend to bowl first. So it's not the worst thing having to bowl first here. And I think, you know, 4 wickets at this stage in a pretty good position. I think, yeah, come back out of the break a little bit freshened up, a little bit more energy. You can get another couple of quick ones. With their slow over rate, or slow run rate, I should say, it puts us in a good position if we do get a couple of wickets on the trot, that, you know, it's back in our court and the pressure's right back on them.
Josh Hazlewood has the one wicket for today, almost had two. He's now 2 off of 100 test scalps. It's a pretty impressive effort from somebody who's still relatively young.
Yeah, totally. He's come a long way, you know. He had a few early injuries when he first came around the squad. Took his time to get his full opportunity, but now, you know, he's the mainstay of the team. He's the man that's always there, the one that we rely on, and he's been great for us. I think his performances in all formats, in different conditions around the world, he's shown what a class player he is, and I think, no different this summer here in Australia. He started well, and, you know, hopefully the rest of the day he can keep doing his thing, be economical, keep building pressure, and whether it's him getting the wickets, he does help in the partnerships down the other end, generating those wickets.
We've spoken a bit about Nathan Lyon and the breakthrough he got and what a special moment it was, but from a pure cricketing sense, it's great for his confidence to get that breakthrough so early in the Boxing Day test.
For sure. I spent a lot of time with him in the lead-up to the Adelaide test when, you know, he was under the pump a bit, and he's one of my good mates. I've played a lot of test cricket with him. So it was great to be over there and just talk with him about the game, about where he's at, how he's feeling. And, you know, he's not the most confident lad. He'll admit that. He hasn't been that all through his career. And even now, he's only 62 tests. He's getting up there. He's still the same man. But his record speaks for itself. Off-spinner in the world of cricket, how it is now, where boundaries are a bit shorter, bats are bigger, that it can be a miserable job bowling spin in world cricket. But, you know, he does a great job. He's been an outstanding performer, especially in Australia. And I think his performances, you know, Adelaide, Brisbane, but especially here in this match, he's going to play a big part, you know, holding up that end at the while the quicks toil away from the other, that I think, yeah, he can have some success, probably more so in the back end of this match.
And as the rain continues to fall here at the MCG, a little bit of big bash news. Sean Marsh is into the squad for the Perth Scorchers, is set to return to take on the Sixers. We haven't seen him in action since he broke his finger in Perth. That puts an extra bit of pressure on Nick Maddison to perform here.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's always, pressure's always there from outside influences. I've had that a lot over my career from other bowlers, and, you know, batters have that with other blokes performing at state level. And I think, you know, I love that challenge. I always loved it personally, that that challenge is only going to make you a better player and make Australian cricket stronger. So I've always liked that. I think hopefully if Maddo can have that same frame of mind, it might bring the best out in him out in the middle as well. But for Sean, great to see him back out in the park. That finger has, you know, annoyed him and caused him troubles over the last 6 months on and off the field that he's had to play and then miss a few more matches. So it's great to see him back out in the park. He's playing well before he broke that finger, and you know, he loves the T20 format, so no doubt he'll come out in the Big Bash and perform well.
So, Isha, the rain continues to tumble here at the MCG. No blue skies in sight there. There is expected to be more rain to continue as well. So the boys are certainly lining up and signing plenty of autographs here at the MCG.
Thank you very much, Narrowly, for Nearmap, Australia's leading provider of aerial imagery. Yeah, there's quite a few people still dotted around wearing their rain macs and hoping that the rain will subside shortly.
I've interesting got... point. That's the longest Sids has gone without eating a banana. that interview right there. And then. Can I tell you a story about his girlfriend? Who's his wife now? I'm not sure. They may be her fiancé. Mm. So we were... I do a breakfast show with Luke Darcy, Eddie McGuire in Melbourne. We were having a bunga bunga party, which was a special party we had at the end of the year for our listeners, in the vein of Berlusconi and the type of parties he threw. Anyway, one of the prizes was that Luke Darcy will sniff your hair. And it was a raffle we had, and they could come down and sniff your hair. And it was won by Sid's now fiance, who thought she'd won a car or something. All she got was Luke Darcy down in the crowd sniffing her hair. Yeah, she was well, bitterly disappointed.
Yeah.
I think it's the only way to phrase that. He's a good egg. He's a lovely bloke, Mr. Siddle.
Yeah, it's great to have him with us across this test match for Triple M. I've got Mick Molloy and Kerry O'Keefe alongside me now. Mick Molloy asked a question a little bit earlier on for all our Twitter followers, Triple M Sport, if you're interested in tweeting in. And the question was, what's your favourite MCG memory? Now, we've got one for you, Mick. Mick must be keen to see the Australian bowlers succeed. As a Richmond supporter, he wouldn't be accustomed to good ball use at the MCG.
Who's that from?
And that's from Sir Splash.
It's stuffed, Sir Splash. That is typical. People just don't want you to be happy, do they? Why would he do that? It's like kicking a puppy in the face. You know, yes, we're not that successful, but I love that side.
Or a Rottweiler in your face.
When did you last win the flag, Mick?
1980. Oh. So 1980, but I wasn't here. But I went to 1982, and this is a true story. So I actually, it's the only grand final I've ever been to see that Richmond are in. And that year, I was in about year 8 or 9 at school. I had my first serious girlfriend, a lovely girl I was so in love with, called Libby. And anyway, when I thought I couldn't love her anymore, on the week of the grand final, she got me a ticket to the grand final. So we were going to go to the grand final together. And I thought, this is just fantastic. I just can't tell you how much I love this woman. Anyway, on the day of the grand final, there's a knock on my door. I open it, and there's this girl, and she's bawling her eyes out. And I said, Libby, what's wrong? And she said, I've just been diagnosed as diabetic and I have to go straight to Frankston Hospital. And I said, so you won't be needing your ticket.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mick Molloy revealing his softer side.
And we haven't won a thing since. And I have a feeling I somehow may have cursed the Richmond Football Club. It's not a go. Doesn't paint me any great
Kerry, you wouldn't treat your women like that, would
no,
you?
Well,
if it was Sue Barker, maybe not. Still reeling at that story, Sue Barker. Anyway, there it
good
is.
Good comeback from you, Mick.
But I do love the Tigers, and I will see them again out here on grand final day, I have no doubt.
You were 13th last year, 22 matches, 8-14.
Yeah.
You conceded a lot of points.
Do you know, a lot of
will you be better in 2017?
I don't know when we will. Do you know what? The only time I nearly gave it all up was 2010 or 11. I can't remember the exact year. But we were eight losses, no wins after 8 rounds. And I went, bugger this, I've had enough. Mm. I went across the road and I got a membership for the Melbourne Storm because they were 8 wins, no losses. I said, that's it, I'm on the Storm. Later that week, Melbourne Storm was stripped of all their points in a salary cap debacle.
That's right.
I'm now barrack for two teams.
You're a mock.
Who are 8 weeks. It's me. That's bloody me.
And the lesson here is stay loyal to your team.
Oh, all right. Well, I did. I chose loyalty over my girlfriend.
Unfortunately, covers all around it. My name is Gus Warden. I've got Kerry O'Keefe with me. I'll be talking to Kerry in a moment. Just give you an update if you're just joining us. Unfortunately, the weather has come in here in Melbourne. The umpires are out there at the moment having a chat to the groundsman, but there's been no movement, and it is still raining, but it's just that fiddly rain. It's not pouring, and it's just sort of settling itself in, and not a lot of wind to push the clouds and the rain away. But if you've just joined us, Pakistan won the toss, and they elected to bat, and Pakistan are 142 for four. They face 50.5 overs for that, so it's been slow going, and this crowd of 61,000 people being very patient. All the bars have just been running around the MCG, absolutely chock-a-block full, and people are here hoping that the rain will go away and we'll get some more play. The lights are on at the MCG, so if we get the rain stopping, I think we'll get some play. Let's run through the card. Aslam got himself caught Smith bowled line for 9. Azhar Ali is not out 66. He's batted beautifully. He's faced 138 balls for that. Babar Azam caught Smith, bowled Hazelwood for 23. Yunus Khan was bowled by Bird for 21. Bird probably the pick of the bowlers because he also picked up Mishbalar Haq as well. Well caught by Maddison off the inside edge for 11. Not out is Shafiq, who was the hero up there in Brisbane. He's not out 4. And Skull, Kerry O'Keefe, what are your thoughts on so far what we've seen in this 50 overs in Pakistan, 142 for 4?
Well, Australia's strongly on point at the moment, Gus. They've been very disciplined. And that's the keynote. There wasn't a lot in the pitch, but there was enough. And Stark Hazelwood and Jackson Bird were outstanding. The miserly Hazelwood, he's only taken the one wicket, but he's kept it so tight, going at 1.15 runs per over. And that's the thing about this Australians. They lost the toss. Good toss to win for Pakistan. Very good pitch. Therefore, they had to just be as disciplined as they could be and wait for the wickets to fall, and they did. The star turned for Pakistan, Azhar Ali, as expected. He was terrific in the second innings in Brisbane. He's continued that. They have problems at the top of the order because Sami Aslam is just not coming to terms with the bounce of Australian pitches. He's a poor player of spin. Sydney awaits whatever happens here. I'd say he'll be a casualty, so there'll be changes to the Pakistan lineup. They dearly love to get 350 in this first innings. They might boss the game from there with Yasir Shah, the leg spinner, in their team, but they've got to get there. At the moment, you know, one wicket here, if Azhar was to go, there's the admirable Safraz Ahmed next, and then a long tail. Mm. Although it wagged a little bit at the Gabba, Australia will climb all over them, and you know, you could see them bowling out for around 250, 260. That's a good result for Australia, having lost a toss.
But what about Mitchell Stark? So used to getting him getting early wickets. He's gone wicketless so far. He's bowled 11 overs, 2 maidens, none for 25. Were you happy with his spell, even though he didn't get a wicket?
I was. I thought, you know, he tried the Yorkers. They just didn't hit the poles this time. A heavy workload in Brisbane, 56 overs, and again he's back in harness. I think there'll be a situation where they'll have to determine what they do for this back-to-back test match in Sydney. But it really probably depends on the result of this game, if Australia was to win it. If Pakistan was to win it, he'll back up. But I thought he was good with perhaps lost the zing and lost the wicket-taking balls that he had in his 7 wickets in Brisbane. I thought Bird was the best. He conceded 8 boundaries. When he got it wrong, they hit him for 4, but he got a lot right, Gus. And he's at first change, he's a star. And, of course, Hazelwood, we've become this miserly approach. If he's not getting people out, he's building pressure. And he did that again today.
He certainly did. He bowled 13 overs, 5 maidens, 1 for 15. I'm talking to Kerry O'Keefe. And, unfortunately, no cricket. So we're summarising what's happened in the first 50-odd overs of the Pakistan innings after they won the toss and decided to bat. Pakistan are 142 for 4. And if you're listening to Triple M Test Cricket, live across the Triple M network, on FM, digital radio and the Cricket Australia app. Play has been officially abandoned for the day. Triple M rocking Test Cricket, and unfortunately it's been abandoned with Pakistan after winning the toss. They're 142 for 4. They went off at about 3 o'clock and an early tee, but they've decided just with this weather sitting atop right across the MCG that they're going to call it quits for the day. My name's Gus Warden. We'll be back rocking Test Cricket tomorrow here on Triple M. Don't go anywhere.
Triple M rocks Test Cricket.